Well-Rounded Geek Podcast, Episode 9. With me in the studio today is David Ritchie for another Stoner and the Scholar Sports Show, where we talk about the latest in sports news, and we also give our opinions or hot takes on sports topics. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Glad to be back for another one.
We've been the most frequent so far out of everyone else.
Yeah, I think it's episode 4?
Yeah. I want to thank you for coming, because David just moved. And he's been continuing to move stuff all week, opening boxes.
And working a crazy festival.
Yeah, so I know it's exhausting. I appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk about it, man.
I helped him move. Sports. And my back is sore now. Like, I didn't feel it right away, but now I'm feeling sore.
Yeah, I've had some lower back pain, too, from that too, man. Definitely feel the effects.
I didn't think... Like, I've moved many friends so far, and even myself, and I bounced back quick, and I didn't think, like, turning 30 would be that bad, but dang.
It hit different.
Like, a week later, it was a delayed hit.
Right.
But anyways, so, we're going to talk about similar topics that we've talked about in the last couple of shows. We're going to talk about NBA, the draft that's coming up. We're going to talk about the playoffs. We're going to talk about the UFC events that have occurred. First and foremost, we should start with the
big news, huh?
The big news, because David and I were hyping up the Pistons lottery odds, and we haven't talked about it yet.
Last episode, right?
Yeah. We said we were going to have an emergency episode if we won the number one overall. We won. And that's crazy. Yeah, it still feels weird even saying that.
It's not going to hit till that night.
Yeah. The Pistons...
I say we do a 15-minute pod that night just for the draft.
We should.
And then watch the rest of it.
Yeah, so...
Get on air for the first pick.
Yeah. This is a rare occurrence. Detroit
this
sports
is history,
teams...
history, man.
We don't have luck like this, you know? And... Even though you and I were hyping it up, I never, like, truly thought it was possible. I was saying it was possible, but in my head, I thought, no way.
That's just the reality for Detroit sports fans. Not even Pistons, but all the way around, we just don't get those picks. And especially Pistons has been so bad. We've touched on it before. They always get, like, the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. They never get anything good, not even top 5. So there was no reason for us to believe that that was actually going to happen, that we were actually going to get it. But craziness happened, man.
Yeah.
Luck happened. And for the first time since, what was that, 2003, when we drafted Darko number 2?
Yeah.
This was the last time we had a top 3 pick, I think.
And that was terrible.
I think.
But the other thing is,
yeah,
you know, we have a number 1 overall with a prospect class, or the number 1 overall prospect that's one of the most hyped in a long time. So.
Yeah.
Other than Zion. So I do have an article. It's a Pistons powered article. Basically, we're linked to Cade Cunningham. Everyone is. He's the projected number one overall pick. There's this article from Pistons powered that ranked where he's at in comparison with some of the top prospects of, like, the last decade, for example. And they have him number 3, right behind Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, number 1 overall. And then they have him above Ben Simmons. And basically, what they're saying is he has no huge weaknesses, and he's one of the best prospects of this decade. And an ESPN scout, Mike Schmitz, called Cunningham the most complete prospect I've ever evaluated. So it's already huge that the Pistons won that number 1 overall pick, but the fact that they're winning it when Cade Cunningham is going to join this team is insane.
Like, what a way for the stars to align and everything connect, bro. Like, we're going to get a generational talent that is going to change this franchise. And
And we've been doing everything the right way.
We've been doing everything the right way under a new regime. I mean, it was year one last year. We've touched on that too. We loved every move that was made, from the Jeremiah Grant signing. Well, from bringing Troy Weaver in, then the Jeremiah Grant signing, then the draft picks, the activity in the draft to get those draft picks. Me and you message that night, like, going nuts. Like, what is happening right now? What is this guy doing? We've never seen this type of activity. We're excited enough for that. And then we saw what those players did on the court year one. Man. And then to package all that with this, oh man, with this kid who's going to be amazing. Sky's the limit, dude.
I feel the same way.
It's going to be a lot of fun Pistons basketball to watch over the next.
It's exciting to be a Pistons fan right now.
8 years, again. 10 years, man.
Dude, I haven't felt like this since I was like in middle school.
It's still kind of unbelievable, man. Mm-hmm. Like, we touched back on it, like, we're talking to you about buying that house. Like, it's still...
It's not a reality until you actually...
Yeah, until you're in it, until you're moving, you're going home from work and you're doing it, you're like, man, I'm going home. It's the same, it's kind of similar with that pick. Like, you know you got it, you know what's coming. It's not really going to hit till draft night, till we see Cade Cunningham as a Detroit Piston, and then them boys go to work.
And you were just talking about, if we draft Cade, you're going to get a jersey day one.
I'm buying
one.
That jersey as soon as it comes on the market.
I'm so hype. And
as long as it's official.
The fact that we won the number one overall... It's hype, but it's overshadowing the fact that we do have some draft capital on top of that, too.
Yeah.
So we have a shiny outlook, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not even sure exactly what we have as far as other picks in that draft. But after year one, man, I'm not concerned about what Troy Weaver is going to do. Even with all the speculation, that's another thing that you and I wanted to touch on. All the trade talk. About, because of course that's, you're going to get that when you get the number one pick. Everybody's going to start.
It comes with the territory.
Exactly.
How do you feel about that? So for the listeners, there
doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. There are rumors out there that we could trade down, obviously.
I think I actually have seen one scenario where it was like trade down for this, whatever the pick the Warriors have. So like sixth or seventh, we get it was like a crazy four-team trade.
Yeah, that's all
I sent
you see.
I remember sending it to you, and I was like, this is insane because it benefits the Pistons like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You give up Cade Cunningham, but I think the draft was taking, in that scenario, we were getting Evan Mobley, who's a lot of people said
we
could go number one or two.
Getting Green.
And then you're getting
Jalen Green,
who a lot of people think also could go one, two, or three. Those three players, Cunningham, Mobley, Green, are the ones that are talking about, you know.
Top three.
In that top three class. So, if something like that was to happen, and we could get Mobley and Green, sure, why not go for that, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like that's just impossible.
But I feel like it's not realistic, so it's fun to entertain stuff like that, mm-hmm. The what ifs. And I think I said that to you the day we found out. I was like, so, how would you feel if we traded it for a superstar? You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To me, it's like, we're not in that position.
It's just fun to entertain it.
It's fun to entertain it.
But I'm with you. Yeah. Take Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. Just continue to build. Build something.
Absolutely love what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Keep that trajectory going forward.
And we've talked about in previous pods, and we're witnessing it with the playoffs. There's a change in the tide going on. So, like, LeBron's going to be phased out eventually. All these people that have dominated over the last decade are going to be gone, and you want to start building your franchise, like, right now.
Well, a lot of them are, really. I mean, you're talking about from LeBron's class. I mean, I know Melo's still in the league playing with Portland, but not at a super elite level. Like, LeBron, obviously, he's different than most NBA players, but... Then you got guys like KD, who I think is going on his 10th or 11th season, you know. You're seeing younger teams starting to show a little bit more promise. Obviously, you know, we talked about that before where we thought that was going to really be the case, and it kind of slowed down because the Hawks got eliminated, and those veteran teams started to show they had that presence.
Their true colors.
Yeah, but even Phoenix is relatively young, man. I mean, they got Chris Paul who's at the helm. Was a veteran guy. Booker's been in the league for, I think, like 6 years, despite being pretty young. But I think for the most part, they're pretty young. But
to me, the Pistons, they're just on the right path, you know, to build into this next generation.
Right.
And I don't want to trade away necessarily an asset that was just a blessing to even receive. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's nice to entertain these ideas.
Right.
Take Cade Cunningham, continue to build. It's incentivizing, like, high quality talent to maybe come to Detroit again, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Before Grant came here, that was even a shocker. And now it's looking like more of a reality if we're building the right squad, you know?
Yeah.
People might want to come here. So,
right.
I'm hyped for that. Like you said, we might have a podcast episode just on that night just to talk about it because we're pumped. We've been talking about it for weeks. We sort of brought it into a reality from the podcast, so that's awesome.
Spoken into existence.
Speaking of some of the other teams in the NBA, I did want to touch on the Suns and Clippers series because we haven't spoken since then, and the Bucks-Hawks series. Currently, it's the Suns and the Bucks in the finals. It's been awesome so far, but I did want to touch on the series before just because we haven't talked about it on the podcast. What was your impression of that Suns-Clippers series? What did you get out of that?
That I think if it hadn't been for Kawhi going down, they might have been able to take that series, man.
They could have. Paul George, for all the hate that he got last year, he was holding his own. You know, it was a hard-fought battle.
Oh, man, he was balling. He actually showed out these playoffs, which we haven't seen.
Playoff P.
Since, what, Indiana? I mean, that was a long time ago. You think about Paul George in Indiana, and people look at you like, what? That was a long time ago, man.
Pandemic P as of late.
Right, exactly. Not playoff P, but this past year, this past playoffs, he definitely was doing his thing. Who knows what would have happened if Kawhi was there healthy. Unfortunately, we found out he tore his ACL, and I think that's what the whispers were when it originally happened. That's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, it's weird how there's so much secrecy with Kawhi when he gets injured sometimes. It's so weird, isn't it?
It's so weird.
But they're saying he's on his way out of
They're saying LA. That, but it's so weird, too, because was it 3 years ago, he single-handedly, I mean, there was no other really superstar on that Toronto Raptors team that he took to the finals and beat the Warriors. That was pretty crazy, man. And then you haven't seen, like, that elite Kawhi Leonard since then.
No.
Like, is there something not the same? Like, did he just give it all in that season and, you know, his knee shot? Because I believe the original injury was a knee injury, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been dealing with some stuff.
Hip, but the whole knee. Thing about his knee that made him want out of San Antonio to begin with.
Oh, I think. Yeah,
I think it was a knee thing. Knee, yeah. So for years, you've got this lingering knee problem. Then you tear an ACL. It's not great, man. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, there were moments in the playoffs here where he was taking over games, and I was like, dang, that's the Kawhi that they need.
Right.
But then once he went down, you know, I was honestly surprised with how competitive the Clippers were without him.
Yeah.
Like, they still were winning games, and you were thinking, dang, like, they could possibly still beat the Suns, but then you just realize the Suns are just...
That was kind of surprising, too, and I don't know how telling that is. I don't know if there's anything to dig deep into that with them. Obviously, they weren't better without him because they didn't get to the finals without him. But they won some games without him. And did he go down before that Phoenix series? Or was it early in the Phoenix series when he went down?
I don't remember because it's now so far away. If it was, it was early.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And you just realized, okay, they're screwed. Because it was before, I think it was before that series started, Kawhi got hurt. And Chris Paul, I think, tested positive for COVID or something, and he was missing time.
You're right.
Remember? So it was leading into that series. And it still ended up being a good series. This has been a great playoffs. I feel like it's not getting talked about as much. Maybe I'm just being naive with it, but I feel like it's not. And we should be very thankful with some of these teams that we're seeing go deep that we don't normally see go deep all the time. And that'll lead me into just talking about the Bucks-Hawks series.
Yeah.
What was your takeaway with that series?
That was a pretty good series. And for a second, we thought Atlanta might be able to take that one just because of the whole Giannis injury.
Yeah, I thought Giannis was screwed. I thought he wasn't coming back.
That was so nuts to see like that happen, and then he missed those last two games, and then has been balling out in the finals.
You wouldn't even know he like bent his knee.
Right, you wouldn't even think that he ever had a scare. Yeah. That's insane, dude.
To me,
there's got to be no injury there. The way he's playing, way he's moving and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got to be good.
And that's insane, because that was supposed to be an injury that would possibly knock him out for the rest
of the
playoffs. Whole
thing. Yeah, for the whole thing. The
thing for me is I think it helped that team, man. I really think it helped that team, because even against the Hawks, they were like struggling a little bit. Because when did he go down? Was it game 4? I think it was game 4. Game 4 or game 5. He went down and you just thought, oh, they're going to be screwed because he's the superstar on that team. But instead, it made others step up.
Yeah.
And now they've carried confidence.
That confidence and momentum over to the finals.
Because they didn't have it. Like, Chris Middleton had it throughout this playoff, but Drew Holiday.
He's been so shaky, though. Yeah. Middleton is notoriously known for being shaky.
Yeah, and then Holiday, Brooke Lopez.
Portis. Lopez.
Lopez went off in those last couple games.
Yeah, he had like 35 points in the closeout game, I think.
Yeah, so that moment, I think, made that team better. But then when they started, and we can talk about the current series now, the Suns versus the Bucks.
Yeah.
They looked rough in those first
kind of like that last game where Phoenix was getting out to a big lead early, and you know, Milwaukee just couldn't scratch back those first couple games at least.
Yeah, now you just see a difference in that team. Like, they're able to fight back.
And Drew Holiday's on and popping. Middleton's not off. He's doing his thing. He's not doing the wishy-washy, at least for the last three games. They've been doing, you know, he's one of those games he had 30-something points, 35 or almost 40. And then I think last game he had 21 or 22. I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do, you know.
When he's
they're
on,
playing defense. Giannis is a monster. And I went into the series wanting Phoenix to win.
Me too.
But in thinking, if Giannis plays, Milwaukee's going to win. If Giannis is healthy and plays, Milwaukee won the series. And it's looking like they might, man. They might just be able to take it.
We've talked about it. I wouldn't mind seeing a game 7, though. Like, I'm thoroughly enjoying this series. It's heavily competitive.
Yeah.
There's been crazy moments that we're witnessing
right.
in real time
yep.
that we're going to remember forever. Like Giannis's block in game 5.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy to basically seal the game.
Yep.
We're witnessing when Drew Holiday just stole the ball to basically seal the game last night and then alley-ooped to Giannis. That was crazy.
That was insane.
These are things that we're going to be talking about for many years, so I wouldn't mind seeing 2 more games, man, to be honest.
Right, you get to see great elite-level basketball. That's exactly what we want as fans, man. That's what makes playoff basketball so great, in my opinion.
I'm honestly getting sad thinking it's almost over.
Yeah, it sucks, man, to think like it's going to be. Because now we're getting back. When this season ends, it's going to be how it usually would instead of that weird COVID year where it was, you know. So it's going to be a little minute again before we get ball, unlike this past year where it was over and then it was right back again.
Yeah, it felt like it came back quick.
Right.
That's probably why all those injuries were occurring, you know.
It shouldn't
have came back that quick.
Shouldn't have came back that quick, man. They should have, you know, dropped another 20 games from the season or something, and that is what it is, you know, more rest for the players.
I would have enjoyed seeing the superstars last longer in the playoffs and not get injured, but I'm still getting a lot out of this, you know.
I'm very happy with how this whole playoffs has gone.
Yeah, like, I agree.
You know, it's sucked to see the Lakers go out, but this Phoenix team that's been riding this wave and balling and seeing CP3 do his thing, seeing D-Book do his thing. I mean, it's great, man. You love to see it. And then the finals that we have is outstanding. It's been great.
How do you feel about, do you think the Lakers would have still beat the Suns if AD was healthy?
If AD and, yeah, because Brown was healthy. So if AD was healthy, yeah, I do. I think they
beat them. Like the tides were changing in that series and they were going to take it away and then AD went down, then he tried to come back.
Yeah, and did you remember that? What was it? I can't even remember now. I just thought it wasn't even that far away. It was like game 2 or something. And LeBron, was it game 2 or game 3? And the Lakers balled on them that game. And that was the game where LeBron was like backing down Jay Crowder, like looking at him like, this ain't nothing type, you know? And watching the game, I'm like, oh man, they could stay healthy like this. They're gonna get through them. They're gonna turn it on. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah,
because they were finally all there. So they had to grow, and grow quick. And they were starting to do that. And you know, unfortunately, we've touched on this in the past when AD got traded over, that is very injury prone, man. His whole career he has.
Yeah,
been.
And they lacked the depth because of that trade.
And so, we were scared that first year that was going to happen and they weren't going to be able to fill anything. You know, thankfully it didn't, and they won a finals, but caught back up to them this year. Both of them, they were both injured.
It's crazy to think that.
And without either of them, like if they're both gone, the team doesn't sniff the playoffs. And we've talked about
that. But with them both healthy, it could have been the Bucks Lakers.
We could
totally be watching the Bucks Lakers.
It's all the difference.
To me, the Bucks Nets series, I've talked about it before. I thought that was the champion. Like, I thought those were the two best teams. And when the Bucks came out on top, I was like, okay, they're probably going to win it all. But the way that Phoenix has looked, you know, they're dangerous, man. So it could still go either way. I wanted the Suns to win because I just like their story. I like the pieces that they've put together. I like the Bucks too, but
I've always weirdly liked Phoenix too, like since I was a kid. Like Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion days, like where they were competitive. I just always kind of liked Phoenix.
Always been something likable about those squads, man. So we'll see how it ends up panning out.
Hopefully we get two more good ones, man.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Before we ride off and we don't get basketball for some months.
We'll transition to football talk.
Yes,
after
sir.
That.
Yes, sir.
College football talk.
It's coming up.
A pain of Michigan Wolverine football.
and the Detroit Lions, but that'll be pain to live, you know, months from now.
Yes.
We don't have to talk about being that state of mind right now.
We'll still enjoy the last two games of the finals.
Unless they surprise us.
And we will have a conversation like we've talked about the draft. We'll talk about that too, because that's coming up the 27th of July. The NBA draft.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We should freaking get together for that, man. That's going to be huge. I don't want to be... I think it would be way more dope to be with the homie watching that than just at the crib like, oh yeah, go us, go Detroit.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We got to watch that live.
It'll be much more like memorable to catch it with the homie for sure.
So outside of the NBA, speaking of watching things, you and I watched the most recent UFC event. We watched UFC 264, McGregor versus Poirier. I wanted to break down that card with you and then talk about some of the upcoming fight news. And
for
we
sure.
can go through all that stuff. So first of all, as a whole, without like talking about individual fights, what did you think about that 264 card?
I thought 264... it wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was disappointing. And it wasn't even disappointing because of what happened in the main event. I feel like nothing
co-main
else.
Co-main wasn't super exciting. Nothing crazy happened. I mean, it went to a decision. There was no, besides O'Malley.
O'Malley was the highlight.
O'Malley and Greg Hardy getting KO'd.
Yes.
That was exciting. But I don't know. It wasn't enough to save the card, I guess.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
As far as excitement goes.
Never would I have thought a Conor McGregor card would flop in my eyes.
Well, you know what, man? And we talked about it that night as soon as it happened, because we thought that was about to go to a war. He didn't stamp his leg. Who knows what would have happened?
Yeah.
But
still, even outside of that, the card was, it was average at best. So we'll start with the Sean O'Malley fight. He fought Chris Moutinho,
who was a replacement for, can't remember his first name, but last name, Falca. Is that who it was?
I don't know. I forget at this point. He fights some scrubs, man. They put him up.
They don't want to ruin that.
They
don't
want to
ruin it yet. They want to get him some names.
He has a spark. He has something special. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So that was like his fourth no-namer, right? Or I don't want to say no-namer, but not ranked. I think it's his fourth.
Yeah, I don't know specifically, because when he hurt his foot, I don't know if that was against a ranked opponent or not.
That was against
Cheeto.
Cheeto Vera.
And I think he was ranked, wasn't he, or no? I could be wrong. I don't know. But they're really trying to baby his, you know, UFC, the start of his career, because they sense that there's something special there. There's good on the mic.
There's a star in the making.
He's entertaining.
Yeah.
And he's a good fighter.
He's good. He's entertaining just to watch fight. I mean, his style, the way he moves in the ring is very entertaining, along to go with his really good mic skills, man.
And that was an entertaining fight, you know.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Moutinho, if that's how you even pronounce his name, he did not look like he obviously belonged. But
it took some punishment, man.
Yeah. Good for him for stepping up.
That's respect in that world.
He's getting a lot of respect by people online, because apparently he works like crazy hours. He dropped what he was doing, took this fight on short notice, and then he
took
went
some
back
damage.
to training people like as soon as possible.
And, right, like, you know, like the following Monday he showed up for his training class. Battered face.
The thing that I don't like is he's getting good press, and I'm happy that he took this opportunity and he made some money. The thing I don't like is it should be talked about more of how underpaid these athletes are, because he still didn't make that much.
Right.
To take that much damage and with that short of notice. Like, it's a lot to us average Joes, but it's not a lot in the grand scheme of sports entertainment.
Not when you wrap the bundle together, like we talked about a little bit earlier off the air, with the fact that you've got to pay your team, pay your coaches, pay, you know,
there's
that.
Expenses.
You got to pay taxes. You know, he may have walked out with 75K bonus and, you know, 35 grand, so leaving with 110 total, but not actually leaving with that. Maybe half of that goes to him.
Yeah,
when it's
crazy.
All said and done at the end of the day, after taxes in Nevada, right? After taxes, and then, because that's where they fought, right?
Yeah, there's no state tax there, but yeah,
okay.
You still, for what you're getting taxed heavily, and he might not fight again this year because he's not some hot commodity or something. He was a replacement,
right.
And he's probably on a medical suspension, because you get suspended medically
when you get touched up
like that. So he might not fight ever again.
So what do those suspensions entail, like 6 months?
It depends.
They call it.
I think even O'Malley got suspended for 6 months because they thought he broke his hand, but I don't think he did. But yeah, it's like a preventative in that way, and you have to prove that you're okay before they reduce it or something like that. But I'm still happy for him. I just feel like these fighters deserve to get paid more. And we'll talk about it when we talk about the Conor McGregor fight, of what happened. These fighters deserve to get paid more for what they're doing, especially in competition with boxing. And I don't want to keep hearing the excuse that, you know, just sort of how the WNBA is in comparison with the NBA, that the show itself is what sells. The people that actually want to be watching is what sells. The UFC is what's selling right now. People are actively watching the UFC. So how has the pay not increased or gotten closer to boxing? It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't, man. It doesn't add up at all. And I'm a UFC fighter. I'm doing the same thing that, you know, John Jones and these guys are doing, is holding out for what they really deserve. That's a brutal living right there, man. And the ones who are as good as the John Joneses and Conor McGregor, well, big as a draw as Conor McGregor, at least, deserve to get paid more. And even the ones that aren't, man, like, there's no reason that the most dangerous sport in the world gets paid less than guys who play basketball and play baseball.
Or just celebrity.
And like significantly less, man. Like, what baseball player makes in a year, UFC fighter may not make in their whole career.
What was the Floyd Logan Paul fight payout to people? Floyd made like way more.
$100 million, right?
He made I don't know. He made a good amount, though.
I think he was talking about 100 mil. He kept floating that around. That's insane. That's a lot, man.
That's not even close.
Why wouldn't he do it?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he do it? It's exhibition, man. He go out there and that's practice for him. So he probably practices for free. Well, he just got paid $100 million to practice. I'd do it, too.
Dana White's going to start getting threatened.
I'll fight any Paul brother for $100
million. I know, right?
It could be John Paul, friggin' Luke Paul.
I feel the same way.
For $100 million?
I know.
She.
But UFC, they don't play that. I don't know. And they still have specific sponsorships. They don't let their fighters have.
It's sneaky, man. And it's like, can the fighters do anything about it? Like, should it sucks because, like, you think about, like, okay, should they band together and do it? But it's always gonna, there's always going to be somebody willing to take that.
Yeah.
That check, that fight.
And that's what
because
ruins
it. Because that's just the sport. That's just the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's what ruins
those it. Dudes and women are tough sons of guns.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be somebody chomping at the bit to make a name for themselves that's going to take anything that's there.
So I don't know if you remember hearing about this, but there were specific fighters that were trying to form like almost like a union, like a group. Right. And they were fighting for proper pay, proper everything.
Right.
And it just
fizzled.
And like you're saying, it's totally because there's people that are willing to drop. They're willing to take $30K and possible bonus just to be in there. But their life is on the line. Dude, that guy got permanent brain damage for sure.
Well, and he got permanent brain damage before the ref even made the call to stop the fight.
Yeah.
And he's pissed off because the ref stopped the fight. Dude, he just saved. O'Malley said that the same thing in the post fight. He just saved you a couple years on your damn life.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, but dude.
He was getting pieced up.
You got touched up and you're like, the ref did what he was supposed to do. It was a good call. I mean, obviously as a fan, you want to see, it's more exciting to see a knockout.
Yeah.
But when you're taking the damage he was taking, I mean, there's no need. He's not going to.
No, he wasn't going to win that fight.
He wasn't fighting back. Like, he wasn't responding. He wasn't giving O'Malley touches anymore because he was a little bit for a second. That it wasn't like
as one-sided as we thought it would
as
be
one, exactly,
for a second.
There. Exactly. He lasted almost the entire fight.
Mm-hmm. He lasted.
So he was just taking a lot of damage. And it sucks because those guys who are willing to step up or those women that are willing to step up and take that, like, that's admirable for sure, but you're undercutting
the greater good of
the sport. Mm-hmm. The now
for the fighters
and the future, like, mm-hmm. be a part of paving the way and making the sport better for the cats that are coming up, you know, behind you. Because there's nothing, I mean, sure, if you're a big fighter, you might be famous and known and stuff like that, or if you just got diehard MMA fans, they may know who you are. But it's not super luxurious. You're getting beat up for a living, dude. You need to get compensated for that.
You do. Now, the pay thing aside, I still enjoyed that fight. The next fight that I enjoyed for what you touched on is the Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy got knocked out.
Thank God.
Thank God. I hate him, dude.
He was so weird on the mic before that at the press conferences that they do.
Just everything.
He was so weird, man.
He's weird.
He's just a weird dude. And
he's got baggage. I don't like anything.
His baggage is not.
He was doing really bad stuff to his. Was it his current wife?
I don't know if it's his current wife, but it was his wife.
At the time.
It was domestic violence issues.
And it was bad. Like,
and
I don't
even got
touch
a second chance in the NFL with that, and then he got in trouble again.
Yeah. I don't even want to touch on it on the
I was
going
to say, we don't need to talk too much about him.
It was bad.
Yeah.
But
he's a big POS.
Yes. And he
got
his punishment.
Got by a shoey, dude, by a guy who drinks spit shine shoes, man.
He chugs beer out of
my
shoes.
Man straight up got laced too with the hot sauce. Did you see that?
Yeah. Somebody
messed him up with that.
Someone gave him a shoe full of beer, but then put Dustin Poirier's hot
spiked
sauce.
Spiked it, dude.
Yeah. He was weirded out by it, but I'm happy for him because Greg Hardy's been getting like way too much of a push.
And that was a great
being
knockout.
It was.
That was like
Heavy hands, man.
Knockout of the night or something. I don't know if they do that in the UFC.
But. They do, but I don't know who won. But that was a good knockout. The next fight, which I found quite disappointing, you and I watched this too, was the Burns versus Thompson fight. You hadn't seen Wonderboy really fight.
And we ever talked fight, about ever. That.
And usually he's like a really good counter puncher, and his fights are quite exciting. No. This was terrible.
Yeah.
It was one-sided Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderboy didn't even look like he should really even be like fighting anymore or something. It was weird.
It was weird to me to see too, man. Like a lot of people touch on like that he's like karate guy and stuff like that. And it just seemed weird, man. It didn't seem like
he didn't look like he belongs with the current. He was there with fighters.
Burns. No, it looked like mm-mm. Burns was on him.
That division's weird now because Burns is still like the probably number one contender going forward, and he just got dominated by Usman.
Right.
And really, they should fight again, but it's like, do you really want to see that? I don't know. They're friends too, aren't they? So it's weird. That's a weird division.
They're teammates. They train out of the same gym.
Okay.
Or they come out of the same gym. It's weird, man. I start to think of like, that's welterweight, right?
Yes.
I start to think of that division and then, guys, forgive me, Adesanya's division. I'm blanking right now on the division.
The middleweight.
I'm starting to think of those two as like untouchable.
Yeah.
Like Usman and Izzy, just like, who beats them?
At their weight class.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to see Whitaker and him fight again, but.
Because they've cleaned out the weight class.
Izzy just seems to be like. Right, they both have ran now through.
Now they're coming back through.
Coming back
like
through.
Monopoly.
And it's like, even like Colby Usman, it's like, I don't think Colby's going to beat Usman. The way Usman has continuously just gotten better, bro. Mm-hmm. Since he fought Colby, and he looked good fighting Colby because he was piecing him up, broke his freaking jaw. And then, you know, coming back against Burns when there was a little bit of adversity there, when he was getting touched up in that first round, coming back, TKO there. Knocking Masvidal clean out to settle that score and make, you know, write a definitive finish on that. Just more and more impressive every time he fights. We talked about it too before, how we were not huge Usman guys because he's kind of weird on the mic too. Not very exciting. I'm not going to say boring, but just not very exciting.
He's getting more exciting, luckily, because he's growing.
It's gotten more exactly, man. Over the last five fights, I've started to turn into an Usman fan.
Yeah.
Well, and to think that there's nobody who can, I'm going to say it, nobody who can fuck with him, man.
Colby is good on the mic, and he was being competitive for a while. So right. That will still at least be an entertaining fight. But I agree with Usman and Adesanya. They're just beasts at their respective weight classes.
They're too good, man.
And they're friends.
And they evolve.
Man. Yeah.
They get better. After every fight, like Izzy lost that lightweight fight to Błachowicz, came back, and his takedown defense looked better. Looked like he evolved. He grew from that fight. And, you know, Usman does the same thing. So I don't imagine who.
Yeah. So speaking of the growing, it leads us into the main event, where Dustin Poirier has really grown in his career, and it feels like Conor McGregor has been going in the opposite direction. What, even though it was brief, what did you think about that main event fight?
I thought that it, for a second, was shaping up to be just a battle.
I agree.
That's what it was looking like to me, and that's what I was hoping for.
I feel robbed.
Definitely. It sucked that happened. Because it was a trilogy fight. It was the, you know, settle the score, 1-1. Conor looking like his old self as far as motivated and determined to put on a show and Poirier. And Poirier just looking like a complete version.
Yeah, he's grown. He hasn't taken time off. He's been having wars.
In my gut, it feels like Poirier's time, bro.
Yeah, and how many times have we heard that Conor is motivated or like, you know, you keep hearing the same thing.
Sure.
What I noticed with this Conor was He didn't have his family around, and that's just the difference in motivation. Because he was saying, you know, it's very difficult to be focused on, like,
when you're a dad, you're in dad mode, dude.
Yeah, you're like training to kill someone, and then you're going home and like bottle feeding your baby. You know,
it's a different vibe, man. It's not on the same energy.
It's not. But I feel like I was robbed. That was a terrible way for that fight to go out. I hope they might fight again, but I don't know if I even want to just see Conor fight anymore. He doesn't need to, and it's just hurting his career. You know, it's not making him look good. His trash talk doesn't carry as much weight because he's not winning. And, you know, it's not a good look on the UFC with what's coming out, too, because we didn't know this, but I've been sending you it. The UFC knew that Conor was having issues with his leg
right.
leading up into that fight, sure. and that's why it snapped.
Right.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, that they let it pass. He even said that they almost called it.
And he's never dropped out of a fight, so I can totally assume why he didn't want to.
Right,
he
wasn't going to go down that route.
People love to hate on Conor, just like they love to hate on LeBron. They love to hate on the people that are the most relevant, you know. There's things you need to give him credit for. He sure. completely changed the sport. He was the first double champ. He made the sport more mainstream. You watch and we talk about it now because of Conor McGregor.
Yep.
And he's never backed out of fights.
I tell everybody, man, like when I talk to you, I talk to a couple of my other buddies that are big into UFC. I got into UFC with the Nate Diaz Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah, a lot of people
that
did.
That brought me to the forefront of UFC mm-hmm. where it really was like, oh man, I want to see this.
A lot know? Of people did. And he started the boxing stuff where he fought Floyd, and now there's other things that are stemming from that. So sure. like he needs to get more credit. He's never missed weight.
He shows up.
The sport is better with him in it and winning. Mm-hmm. It's just there comes a point where it's going to tarnish his legacy if he continues to underperform, and he just makes too much money. He doesn't need to be doing this.
That's just it, man. Where do you get that drive and motivation when
he's transcended?
You're richer than you could ever possibly mm-hmm. imagine.
If we're complaining about what these fighters are getting paid, he's on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even close, but
yeah, I'm actually curious to know like what both of those guys got paid for that main event fight. Cause I saw something that Dustin got paid $10 million, but I don't know if that's true at all.
I don't know. Conor that seems gets like paid a lot. Way more usually, and then he gets the proper 12 advertising.
$10 million sounds like a lot for not Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and you know Poirier. I like Poirier.
I like him a lot, man.
I've been liking him a lot more, but I didn't like his attitude at the end of that fight because he does need to be. Some of these fighters need to be thankful that Conor McGregor's like. Fighting them. Yeah. Like, you need to be more thankful. I know you can talk crap and it's a fight at the end of the day, but he is changing your life by fighting you because he's the only fighter that carries this type of weight, this type of following.
For sure.
You know, and at first, when he was talking about his leg or his coach, something came out after the fight with his coach saying his leg was injured before the fight. That's why it broke. It's not like I didn't believe it, but I didn't want to hear it because I'm thinking, like, I don't want to hear, like, any type of excuse or right. anything. But now things have been coming out, like, pictures, like, proof. UFC doctors knew. They were getting scans, seeing yeah. that there could possibly be a hairline fracture.
Right.
And then seeing pictures of him training with it wrapped or, like, protectively sure. covered or icing it.
Right.
That's a bad look on the UFC. That fight should not have happened.
Yeah.
And look what happened. Your biggest draw, your biggest star who needed that win to
may
sort
never
of,
come back from
may
that.
Never come back and completely snapped his leg.
How do you
it's not a good look for them, man. How did that even
how do you throw a leg kick after that, bro?
I don't know, but he
how do you
have
check
been,
a leg kick after
he
that?
He was throwing leg kicks.
No, I'm saying if he when he recovers fully, gets healthy again, wants to come back and fight, how do you in the back of your mind as a fighter with a shin or leg that just snapped confidently throw that
yeah well
or use it to check.
Rumor has it it's like a titanium rod in his leg so it's unbreakable going forward. He's like Terminator 2 edition. But still I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know right. it affects you. It's like when you have a blowout ACL injury or something. Yeah. You feel like you can never be the same. I feel it. as 30, if I have little fluke injuries while being at the gym, you know, I don't feel like I want to go as hard or something, you know? So I think his career might be fizzling out. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's still, to me, it's what's going to keep coming out of the news with the UFC knowing about it and doctors knowing about it. I want to see what happens with that because that's not a good look for them. So I did want to move on and talk about the upcoming fights before we end the show. We have a couple upcoming fights. We have a fight night coming up July 24th. TJ Dillashaw is returning. Have you watched TJ Dillashaw fight before? Are you looking forward to him returning?
I've never actually gotten to see him fight besides like little highlights. When I got into UFC, he was serving his suspension.
Yeah, I'm excited to see.
But I've heard crazy things. I've watched like old Ultimate Fighter series and stuff like that. I've watched highlights, and I kind of know about, you know, the backstory of him being good and having the rivalry with
Cruz,
Garbrandt, stuff like that. So I'm excited to see him fight, and he's talking like he wants to prove something.
Yeah, he's got a chip on his shoulder because his legacy is sort of tarnished by failing and having a 2-year suspension for PEDs.
PEDs, it's not a good look on the record, bro.
So we'll see what he looks like without him because it's
different. Because you were saying it was specified towards stamina as well. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where he was
excelling against.
I was
going to
say
opponents.
Excelling had a upper hand.
Yeah, an advantage. So we'll see how he looks.
Yeah.
But the other big UFC event that's coming up is UFC 265. That's August 7th. It's Derek Lewis versus Gagne. They say Gain sometimes. It's Gagne or something.
I've heard Gan. I've heard Gain.
Yeah. He's a beast. That fight, though, makes no sense. I don't understand what the UFC is doing.
What's the need for a...
It's an interim title heavyweight fight.
For what? So I don't understand the interim belt unless like somebody like a champ is out or something, or like so a champ has to drop a belt or something. Like, I don't get the need for an interim champ.
I don't either.
Why, you know, whoever wins that is the next up to fight Ngannou then. So then they just become number one contender. What's the need for an interim belt? I don't get it.
It's because Ngannou was stalling because he wanted the John Jones fight, so they robbed him of fight.
And Ngannou still stalls after one of these guys wins, then they might
strip him or something. It's so annoying, though.
It's
the way
so
that they...
weird, because then so what does that make? So Ngannou doesn't fight still, and say Lewis wins the interim belt. So then is he out there just fighting, putting the interim belt on the line?
No, it's so weird. And you got to unify it at some
And then
point.
There's nothing. There's no merit in that.
And they've watered it down completely.
That's
the way
so
they
whack.
Handle stuff.
It's so whack to me, bro. And like, I loved when Gaethje won that Ferguson fight last year and he got that interim title and just threw it down. Like, I want the real thing, man. Like that, this ain't it.
And it proves that it's not it, because then when
he got
destroyed. So you have to beat the champ. I don't like this interim stuff. You know, it made sense with the John Jones situation because he was getting suspended.
100%. Yeah, so I get it if there's like a moment where a guy gets stripped or something happens, like you said, John Jones, then I get the need for an interim belt. I understand it at least. I don't get it when there's a freaking champ that's being inactive.
And Ngannou, he did all the right stuff, man. Like, he lost to Stipe. He fought a group of people.
Climbed back up.
Looked beastly, improved, fought Stipe.
Took him out.
Completely destroyed him. And now he wants to be paid accordingly. And he's waiting for a bigger fight because he doesn't want to fight Lewis again, because that was one of the worst fights I've ever seen in my life, by the way.
Yeah,
uneventful. They did nothing.
I think I have... That's one of the fights between you and my other buddy Maceo that you met on Sunday, who's a big UFC fan, or last Sunday. Those with you two, when you two guys talk about it, like some of the worst fights you've seen in UFC, you two always bring up that one, and
it's so bad.
It must have been a freaking snooze fest.
Because a heavyweight fight should not be a snooze fest. Dude.
Guys were just scared to fight.
Mm-hmm. It's too massive.
They knew. each other's power mm-hmm. and didn't want to get caught.
Yeah, so
That can't happen again.
I wasn't clamoring to watch that fight again, but I do want to see a better version of that. I mean, I do like Derek Lewis. The fight that's for the interim title, it looks
it's a good fight.
It's a good fight. It looks exciting. It's just the interim belt makes no sense.
Even if it wasn't Ngannou, John Jones, I'd rather see Ngannou, Derek Lewis
mm-hmm.
for the belt
yeah.
than Lewis and Gon. For the interim, and then to fight Ngannou whenever, you know, he feels that he's going to be paid appropriately.
Yeah.
And does Ngannou want to defend his title against Lewis or Gon first, or does he just want that John Jones fight?
I think he wants the John Jones fight because he just wants money, you know, at this point. You know, when you get the title and you start defending it, you know, everyone's trying to climb up the food chain sure. to fight you. You want to get paid accordingly. You want the big fights. He doesn't want to go back in time. That's going backwards.
Like, right.
Even though Derek Lewis has been winning fights, and I do like him. He's entertaining. He still doesn't like... How can I even explain it? He wins these fights,
wow,
but he still
you.
Doesn't look like he deserves it. Like, he right. looks like this guy that has never trained mixed martial arts. He just, like, wins fights.
He's just a good fighter,
right? Fighting, dude.
And he's got the power to sleep you...
He does.
...in one... fist, you know what yeah. I'm saying, like left or right, you pick him, he'll sleep you with either one.
Yeah,
and he that's what he rides on, because that's what happens. He doesn't win decisions.
Gagne is going to be a tough test for him, though. That's going to be like, he might lose. Gagne is a beast,
that heavyweight.
That division, I would love to see Gagne against Ngannou, though. That'd dude, be a great fight,
so man. Just
we'll see what lines up
two
next.
Two freaking Thors, Thanos. I mean, those guys are... I mean, Ngannou is a freaking brick house.
They're specimens, yeah.
And that guy, Ciryl Gane, is freaking huge as well, man. Super intimidating. The heavyweight fights are so intriguing to me because that's where you get the most... That's you get the recipes for the big KOs. Because the guys hit so freaking hard.
The massive knockouts.
Yeah, and those big boys fall hard.
They do fall hard. So the other fight that's on that card, I don't want to discredit that.
Yeah.
She's just a beast. She's going to go down as like the greatest fighter
ever. You can't
ever
not talk about
point.
Her when she's on a card.
Yeah, Amanda Nunes is fighting Juliana Pena for the bantamweight title. I've never heard of this, but did you hear that Juliana Pena was sort of like clamoring for this fight? Like she was sort of, she wants this fight. She was calling out. Or asking for Amanda Nunes, or she has been.
Okay.
Are you insane? Why would you ever?
I mean, you want to test yourself against the best? I get it, but like...
No.
What I think sucks about it is that like there's nobody even close to being as good as her. So like it kind of waters her fights down because I tell you, I've been watching it for like 2.5-3 years now. And I just know from talking to people who know the sport about Nunes and the fights that I've seen. I've seen her fight 2 or 3 times now. I think twice. She is just a way, just class.
It's
classes of classes ahead, man. So it's like when I see that name on the card, it's automatically a W in Nunes. Bet the house on Nunes. You know what I'm saying?
I hope it's a more competitive fight. I just don't see it being that
you
way.
You can't bet the house, though, because the odds are... Because she's so good.
I know. You're not going to win anything.
You're
really.
Not
going to
win nothing.
Juliana Pena is really strong. So maybe if she uses a physical presence, I don't know. But just Amanda Nunes.
But is she going to be in a spot to... Is she going to be even able to put her physical presence in there?
I mean, don't know.
Nunes is just so well-rounded.
And she's so good standing. It's like... She
you're not gonna beat her unless she just gets tired of the sport. That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? To if she becomes uninterested or just it feels like Khabib, like she's gonna walk away the best.
I feel bad for her in some aspects though, because I feel like she should be getting way more hype. She has respect from people that watch the sport, but
sure.
She needs to have more respect from other people.
She's
around
a goat.
The world, but I think there's a language barrier in a sense.
Yeah.
Khabib really didn't have that respect either until that Conor fight,
right.
Really, to be honest.
Sure.
And even to this day, even after the Conor fight, he doesn't have as much as he really should deserve for going undefeated.
Right,
you
being
know?
As great as he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And looking as dominant as he did, so.
Right.
I wish the UFC would push promotion with her more, but they just don't. And it's sad. I don't know if it's a woman thing. I don't know if it's just because there is a little bit of a language barrier. She's not like necessarily the best on the mic or anything. But
right.
I don't know who would even be a test for her. When I watched her dominate Chris Cyborg, that's right. When I knew, I was like, there's nothing. Dude, Chris Cyborg is who would dominate everyone.
Yeah.
So if she's handily beating Chris Cyborg,
then who's.
Yeah.
Who can touch no it? Way. Right.
We should pretty much see her compete against, I guess, even higher weight classes, but she's a dual champ at an even higher weight class. You know, I don't know. I don't see her losing.
No.
To be honest.
Me either, man.
I'm looking forward to those fights, yeah. Though. The other thing before we get off I did want to talk about was it was announced that Nick Diaz is returning to the UFC.
Long time.
It's been a while. He's going to be fighting Robbie Lawler again. What is your thought on that?
So I've never seen either of those two dudes fight. I know they're way older than...
they're past their prime.
Yeah, especially when they first fought, which was like, what, 17 years ago or something like that? That's a lot, bro. That's almost two decades.
I know.
To be like, okay, I want a rematch. Let me fight this man. But I'm excited because I've never seen either of them fight, and I've heard such great things. I mean, you and I have talked about it. You told me that there was a point in time where Nick Diaz might have been the best fighter in the world. Mm-hmm. And
his weight class, yeah.
Lawler, right, his weight class. And then Lawler was a champion in multiple organizations and is highly respected in the UFC. Yeah. And, you know, I know we talked about it. His last fight was against Askren, right? Askren?
No, he fought again more recently.
He fought after that?
He hasn't been looking the same at all.
He lost. Know? Did he lose that fight?
I don't even remember. Probably. He hasn't looked good at all.
Yeah. I'm just excited because it's guys who are, you know, respected and have put in work in the game, and I've never seen either of them fight, and get to see them fight each other.
It's good for the UFC to have a Diaz brother fight.
It's always good to see a Diaz fight, right?
Yeah.
Because I've never seen him fight, but I'll be honest with you. I love Nate. Even not being like the best fighter, I still love to watch his fights. And just the only thing I know about Nick is clips and stuff over the years. But it's like, man, for years seeing that, it's like, damn, I want to see this guy fight. And then you hear it, you know, I hear it from guys like you who know the sport and been watching it for so long. And you're like, yeah, he was one of the best in his division at one time. It's like, oh, man. You know, it makes it more enticing. He's
way better than Nate.
It makes it way more interesting. And when you say that, it's like, Nate's not a great fighter, but he's a dog.
Yeah.
So to know that his his brother's a actual technical fighter, yeah. And he's got that dog in him.
Yeah.
I want to see that. And that's going to be huge, man.
It's huge for the UFC.
I feel like that's going to be insanely big.
They need characters like this because Conor is fizzling out a little bit because they don't really have anyone outside of Adesanya right now. So
yeah, that's why who's going to carry fight. That torch, man? That's a good question there.
That's why they're giving O'Malley all these soft fights, you know,
trying to build him up,
mm-hmm.
And then give him a ranked and hopefully he can climb up because he's in what we talked about it last time. I can never remember. There's so many freaking weight classes. But that's where Aljamain is champ, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah. He's got to work his way up and then fight. I mean, probably Aljamain, but I don't know what's happening with that either. If he's coming back and fighting Jan again, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Weird. There are some exciting things coming up, though, and I'm sure we'll talk about them.
Sure. Absolutely.
And we'll talk again soon about the NBA draft. Thank you again for coming on the show, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hell yeah, man. It was a great time.
I just want to take a quick moment to give a huge shout out to Caged Muscle Supplements. If you guys don't know, I just recently joined their innovator program, and I couldn't be more excited to be associated with one of, if not in my opinion, the best supplement companies in the world. You can head over to my Instagram page to learn more about their products as well as their culture. You can also use the link in my bio as well as my promo code JG15 to save 15% on your order. The well-rounded teeth. We'll be right back.